Well, there is some rare agreement in Washington. Republican House Speaker John Boehner and the Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein in agreement. They are both calling Edward Snowden a traitor. He's, of course, the 29-year-old former National Security Agency contractor who leaked classified documents about government spying to the press. He was fired, as of yesterday, by his employer, the government contractor Booz Allen. And the Justice Department is beginning the process of charging him. But with what? Jonathan Turley is constitutional law expert and law professor at George Washington University. Jonathan, welcome back to Here and Now. And what do you think of the characterization of Edward Snowden as a traitor?
Thank you, Robin. I disagree with it. And I was rather taken aback yesterday by the sheer amount and intensity of the attacks on Snowden. I mean, there's plenty of basis to disagree with the method that he chose, the road that he took in making these disclosures. But I was really astonished to see Jeffrey Toobin on CNN calling him a clown and a narcissist, and these senators calling him a traitor. He's obviously far more complex than that. So is the story.
Well, there are plenty calling him a hero. You know, Michael Moore comes to mind. But what would you call him legally?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't call him a traitor, certainly not a clown. This is someone who threw away a very well-paying job, threw away his life, really, because he felt that the public needed to know about a program that endangered their liberty. Many of us agree with the second half of that, that this is an abusive surveillance program. His motivations appear to be as he stated, that he had strong philosophical objections to what the government was doing. That doesn't make him a traitor. It makes him closer to a whistleblower. And I don't understand why there's this full court press to demonize him. We saw the same thing with Julian Assange. This effort to personify the scandal, make him the story, instead of looking at what it was that he disclosed, it should be highly troubling. I think part of the problem, Robin, is that Democrats are very concerned about this story because it's clear that they knew about this and did nothing, and there's an effort to snuff out this story as quickly as possible. As you know, someone in the business, the first 24 hours of a story is the critical one. And Democrats really pushed in the first 24 hours to tell the public not to be afraid of this program, that they knew about it, to see if people would go quietly into this night.
Well, President Obama was one. He held a press conference assuring Americans, no one's listening to your calls. It's just data, the same thing you see on your phone bill. Your name's not attached. But what about that?
I was floored by that press conference, I have to tell you. I mean, as a civil libertarian, I didn't think I could be shocked anymore by this administration. But when the president said that this was a modest intrusion into privacy, my heart stopped. I mean, what concerns me is that this administration is now trying to get American citizens to agree to a new model, a very surveillance-friendly model of privacy.
Well, they might have detected that people might be open to that. And in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some of the cultural reaction to this. And, you know, you are a legal expert. I hope this isn't offensive to you. But you've got David Simon, you know, David Simon, the creator of HBO's The Wire. He's saying, come on, the sheer breadth of it means it's not being looked at. His quote is, for the love of God, how many agents do you think the FBI has? There has been some response along those lines of, oh, I get it. They need to take everything so that they can see these patterns, but they're not listening to mine.
No, I agree with you. That's what's being said, and I find it perfectly perverse. I mean, it used to be that you could get pen register information through a national security letter. If I say, look, Robin's come up on an investigation, I want her the numbers of people that she called. What the administration has essentially done is issue a national security letter for everyone. It's basically said, we're going to collect all the numbers, and we're going to keep it in this data bank, and we'll use it as our interests focus on one person or one group. That massive data bank allows for total transparency of citizens to their government. It creates the very fishbowl society that many of us have long feared. And if it were not President Obama defending this, I doubt seriously that we'd be having this debate.
Well, it was interesting. We had Jonathan Alter on yesterday, and of course, he's in the past been a defender of the Obama administration, and he said he was uncomfortable with the news that he was hearing about how much the government was doing, but he rushed to point out that Obama did exactly what he said he would do. In other words, he legalized what the Bush administration wanted to do without warrant, without being legal, this data mining. But I just want to ask you one thing quick, Jonathan, because you said that you would call Edward Snowden a whistleblower. Now, you know there's debate about this. NPR and other news organizations have decided not to call him a whistleblower because the legal definition is that if you're a whistleblower, it's you've exposed something illegal. In this case, the information Edward Snowden exposed was not seized illegally. As we just said, the Obama administration set it up so that the FISA court, or even before the Obama administration, set it up so that a court signed off on it. It's legal. Does that change in your mind whether or not Edward Snowden is a whistleblower?
It doesn't. First of all, many public interest groups define whistleblowers as someone who reveals something unlawful or government wrongdoing or abuse. That's generally how whistleblowers are defined in practice. And I think he certainly meets that definition. In terms of the legality of the program, that is also a subject in heated debate. Many of us believe this is unconstitutional, but we acknowledge that the Supreme Court said that Penn Register information gets less protection under the Constitution, that you don't need a warrant. But the Supreme Court in that case was dealing with what I described earlier, wasn't dealing with putting all Americans under continual surveillance. That's a game changer. And so for people to say, oh, this is most certainly clearly legal, I think is jumping the gun here. Yeah. We have not dealt with this before. We were talking about a data bank system that is a perfect nightmare for civil liberties, where we all are basically being fed into a system, and it's ridiculous to say they're not using it to spy on individual citizens. They have that capacity. That's the point of creating data banks, so you can link them to a computer system.
Well, the other thing that they are saying is that it has prevented potential terrorists. But just briefly, Jonathan, in the minute we have, so what do you think happens? Does somehow a lawsuit come up and this goes to the Supreme Court? Does Congress decide how to go forward? It seems like a horse is out of a barn somewhere.
I do think there will be a lawsuit, but the great irony, Robin, is in February, the Obama administration succeeded in getting the Supreme Court, in a case called Clapper, to vote 5-4 to dismiss one of the most promising civil liberties lawsuits in history. It was an organization of journalists, individuals, groups. They did that by classifying the evidence and saying they could never acknowledge surveillance programs like PRISM without putting American lives at risk. Well, after the case has been dismissed, they didn't hesitate to acknowledge that, in fact, this program did exist. And so you're left with this anomaly where just a few months ago they killed an important case because they classified this with all the rest of the surveillance evidence.
We're going to pick this up on the other side. But Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor, always thought-provoking. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Back in a minute, here and now.